Podcast Radia Gdańsk.
This program is brought to you by the Museum of the Second World War in Gdańsk as part of the World Battlefield Museums Forum. Welcome. Courage, sacrifice, and heritage are values crucial to understanding battlefields and reflecting on the fate of man and his historic struggles. As places of remembrance and focal points to pay our respects, battlefields bring back images of the past we can explore and research. Preserving and conserving battlegrounds, artifacts, and infrastructure for future generations should be our major goal. Only when this goal is achieved can we think of battlefields as open-air museums and commercial tourism destinations. After all, battlefields are guardians of memory shaping our collective historical identity.
It is 1863. America is in the grips of a civil war. The southern states decided to leave the Union because they were afraid that President Lincoln and the entire North wanted to abolish slavery, which was, as the vice president of the newly created Confederate States of America, Alexander H. Stephens put it, the cornerstone of the Confederacy. On the other hand, Lincoln's main goal was to preserve the Union. However, having issued a proclamation of emancipation, it was no longer a war for the restoration of the Union as it was, but the creation of one without slavery. Interestingly, both sides strongly cited the legacy of the American War of Independence. This is even evident in Lincoln's famous Gettysburg Address, delivered a few months after the battle, read here by America's first African-American president, Barack Obama.
It is rather for us, the living. We here be dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they here gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve these dead shall not have died in vain. That the nation shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Dr. Catherine Bateson of the University of Kent.
Lincoln delivered his two-minute most important speech of his life. At this point, the conflict for emancipation and for union together would lead to the new freedom that America was now fighting for. The Confederacy were very upfront from the start about what this war was really about. Yes, it was about their states' rights, but it was about their states' rights to defend slavery and to keep slavery going. Through the 1840s and 1850s in particular, it became increasingly clear that tensions between these two regions could not be reconciled. At the end of the 1850s, Abraham Lincoln argued that America was a house divided against itself. By 1860, more than 4 million African Americans were enslaved in the southern states. Politicians in the South were deeply concerned that the newly forming Republican Party were going to end slavery and abolish it. And so on the 20th of December 1860, South Carolina seceded from the Union, and with it, other states forming the 11 Confederate States of America. In 1863, Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation made sure that this cause was publicly addressed for the first time. So union and emancipation went hand in hand. By the time we reach the Battle of Gettysburg, between the 1st and 3rd of July in 1863, this was becoming a war to completely defeat the old Confederate Southern slave South. Gettysburg became very quickly yet another brutal and horrific battle. The American Civil War, one of its many legacies, is just how this remains America's bloodiest conflict, even when you compare and combine all of its other military history. Every southern town in certain areas of the seceded South knew somebody who would have been injured or killed at Gettysburg. There is also a huge transnational legacy of the war, and it's something that is pretty apparent at Gettysburg. The war saw over 200,000 African Americans fight, the same from Ireland originally in the Union, along with 20,000 who fought with the Confederacy. 400,000 native and firstborn German American immigrants fought in the war. There are even a few key military figures who originated from areas of Poland. The enduring legacy of the Civil War, it is about the fact that African Americans right to vote. It's this movement that then pushes civil rights actions all the way into the 20th and 21st century. This is a war that is not just a civil war. It is one that has touched culture and music and photographic developments and military developments that endure to this day. And that is why it is the most important part of American history, because it is something that is still with us over 150 years on.
Gettysburg, a town in Pennsylvania, close to the Maryland-Pennsylvania state line, with a population of just 2,400 in 1863. It is adjacent to the Susquehanna River watershed and within the Potomac River watershed, close to numerous streams and creeks such as marsh and rock. Strategically, it is at a crossroads linking several important towns in Pennsylvania and Maryland, including Baltimore and York. Frank Haskell, who witnessed the battle and wrote about it subsequently, stated that the geography played a key part in the battle and was to the North's advantage. He went on to describe the landscape, saying that between these ridges and along their slopes, the ground is cultivated and is covered with fields of wheat, now nearly ripe, with grass and pastures, with some peach orchards, with fields of waving corn, and some farmhouses and their outbuildings along the Emmitsburg Road. There are very few places within the limits mentioned where troops and guns could move concealed. General Lee's attempt to continue his successful campaign against the North, this time in the North, brought him to this otherwise peaceful town of Gettysburg in Adams County, Pennsylvania. But what was the battle itself like? Dr. Piotr Terenkowski of the Institute of History at the University of Gdansk.
On the morning of the July 1st, 1863, no one actually expected that a skirmish commenced to the west of a small Pennsylvania town between Confederate infantry commanded by Henry Heath and a dismounted Union cavalry commanded by General John Buford would escalate into the biggest and the bloodiest battle of the Civil War that would last 3 days, involve 170,000 men from the armies of the Potomac, which was the Union Army commanded by General George Meade, and the Army of Northern Virginia commanded by Robert E. Lee, and will result with more than 50,000 casualties. The first day of the battle belonged to the Confederates, who were just able to bring more troops into the battle and practically destroyed two Union corps, forcing Federal troops to withdraw and to take defensive positions to the south of Gettysburg. However, they were actually unable to strike a decisive blow. On the second day, Confederates planned to launch a general assault on the Union lines. However, the attacks not only started late in the day, because the first troops, they launched their attacks just after 4 p.m., but they were also uncoordinated, and as a result, they failed to break Union defensive positions. Despite this, rather disappointing result, General Lee still planned to renew the attack on the next day. This time, he wanted to strike in the center of the Union position. As part of preparations, between 150 and 170 Confederate guns fired for almost 2 hours into Federal positions. And historians argue that this was the largest artillery bombardment of the Civil War. An assault by Confederate infantry that followed, known as the Pickett's Charge, ended with a complete disaster, kind of a significant symbol of Confederate helplessness. On the very next day, July 4th, General Lee was forced to order his army to withdraw, thus ending his offensive to the north. It is interesting to mention also the Polish connection. One of the brigade commanders of the Union 11 Corps that on the July 1st defended the line to the north of the town was Włodzimierz Krzyżanowski. His brigade was comprised of 5 regiments, including the 58th New York Volunteer Regiment, also known as the Polish Legion. And even though his troops were unable to hold the line, nevertheless, they managed to slow down the Confederate advance enough to allow Union troops to form a new defensive position to the south of Gettysburg. Krzyżanowski's troops also played an important role in repelling Confederate attacks on July the 2nd. And interestingly, among Confederate troops, there were also 2 regiments from Louisiana that were originally organized in 1861 in New Orleans as the 1st and the 2nd regiments of the Polish Brigade.
This program is brought to you by the Museum of the Second World War in Gdansk as part of the World Battlefield Museums Forum.
And what was happening at this time in other parts of the world? Dr. Piotr Derengowski.
1863 was very eventful. However, I would like to mention 2 things in particular, mainly because they directly and indirectly affected the American Civil War. First of them was the January Uprising that took place on Polish lands. Poles once again took up arms and tried to restore the country that disappeared from the map of Europe at the end of 18th century. And even though the unrest on Polish lands was treated by many countries, including the USA, as an internal Russian affair, it still grabbed the attention of main European powers, like Great Britain and France, effectively distracting them from any serious involvement in the Civil War. On the other hand, Russia was the only European empire that consistently, during the entire Civil War, treated that conflict as an internal American affair, and refused to accept any kind of European mediation to end the war. Another event that was closely related to the American conflict was the war in Mexico. Caused by French invasion of Mexico and an attempt to establish regime that would be favorable to French interest in that region. French managed to install Maximilian Habsburg as an emperor, but his rule proved to be short-lived. By 1867, Maximilian was captured, tried, and sentenced to death. And despite international appeals to spare his life, also executed. Interestingly, the commander of the reserve firing squad was another Polish participant of the Battle of Gettysburg, Colonel John Sobieski, who in his memoirs claimed to be lineal descendant of King John III of Poland.
As the gunpowder was settling, people tried to find ways of commemorating what had happened. Gettysburg, a poem by Herman Melville.
Sloped on the hill, the mounds were green. Our center held that place of grave, and some still hold it in their swoon, and over these a glory waves. The warrior monument, crashed in fight, shall soar transfigured in loftier light. A meaning ampler bear, soldier and priest with hymn and prayer, have laid the stone, and every bone shall rest in honor there.
Gettysburg is now a peaceful memorial, but it is our responsibility to tell the story for future generations. David Malgi, Gettysburg Foundation.
The Gettysburg Foundation's mission is multifaceted but quite simple. It is our noble task to support Gettysburg National Military Park with funding for education, preservation, acquisition of artifacts, and protecting battlefield properties from modern development. Additionally, we are committed to running all operational aspects of the museum and visitor center. We are also committed to educating visitors about the significance of the battle and what it means today, along with the lessons of Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. Finally, our overall goal is to enhance the visitor experience at Gettysburg National Military Park.
Christopher Gwynn, Gettysburg National Military Park.
One of the big things we like to do is reach out to the younger generation in the local community. And we do that through a variety of ways. First off, we host hundreds of school field trips to the museum and visitor center, to the battlefield, virtually every month throughout the year. Over the course of the partnership between the National Park Service and the Gettysburg Foundation, hundreds of thousands of young learners, if not millions, have been able to engage with the Gettysburg story. And here in the Museum and Visitor Center, we have a world-class museum exhibit that walks students through the story of the American Civil War and the Battle of Gettysburg, placing that battle within the larger context of the war, also talking about its causation and its consequences. We have an education specialist and an education team here who provide free on-site interpretive programming for school groups. We have a robust distance learning program. We have special initiatives where we bring in lower income, lower opportunity students from primarily urban areas and introduce them to the Battle of Gettysburg and its significance in American history. We do it through partnerships like the ones the National Park Service has with the Gettysburg Foundation. We do it through outreach events. We have a digital presence online that, regardless of where you are, either in the United States or across the world, you can take a virtual tour of the battlefield, or you can go to the Gettysburg Foundation website and experience a digital depiction of the Gettysburg Cyclorama. So there are many different ways in which the National Park Service and the Gettysburg Foundation work together to engage the younger generation and students across the country and across the world. And we're fortunate that the community of Gettysburg is a vibrant history community. We have powerful partnerships with local colleges and universities, with the local historical society. And collectively and collaboratively, we've always been able to work together to communicate, to reinterpret the Gettysburg story for new generations.
Dr. Carol Reardon, military historian, Gettysburg Foundation.
Those of us who study military history look at war through four different basic concepts. We looked at war's causes, at war's conduct, at war's cost, and at war's consequences. Our museum here at the Gettysburg National Military Park addresses all four of those concepts. When it comes to the war's causes, this is a matter of great controversy in the United States even today. If one follows the historical evidence provided in sources that come from the start of the war, most historians today would say that the main cause of the Civil War was slavery. There are any number of other elements that contribute to the causes of the Civil War, but a lot of them are shaped by the institution of slavery. There are cultural and economic factors that produce an understanding of why the North and the South fought each other, but when it comes down to it, in the end, it usually comes back to slavery. One of the interesting things about the way the Gettysburg National Military Park interprets the conduct of the war is that they do not use simply a military lens to do so. Whenever this museum talks about the conduct of the Civil War, they address all the elements of national power involved in the fighting of a war. It's not just the clash of armies, it's economies at war, it's a number of other factors, political, diplomatic, social, cultural, at war as well.
Poland also plays its role in commemorating this battle. The Battle of Gettysburg is also commemorated by a huge cyclorama painting, painted by Paul Dominik Philippe-Autour in 1884. This huge work of art was first exhibited at the Gettysburg Museum in 1913, on the 50th anniversary of the battle. But 120 years later, it needed expert repair and conservation. In 2005, the Gettysburg Foundation hired a team of conservators from Poland who had worked on a similar mega-sized battle painting called the Radziwiłł Panorama. Gettysburg shows us how, even though a bitter battle is fought, reconciliation is possible and great good can come as a result. Dr. Piotr Derongowski.
We have to remember that even though one of the greatest results of the war was abolition of slavery through the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, it was enforced not as a reward to African Americans, but rather as a punishment to white Southerners. It is true that during the years immediately after the war, known as the Reconstruction, black population of the United States did receive many rights. Unfortunately, this victory did not last long. Already before the end of 19th century, white Southerners managed to deprive African Americans of their rights and they made them second-class citizens. About the same time, we could observe reconciliation between white Northerners and Southerners. The Civil War was portrayed as a tragic war between brothers, rather than as a struggle to abolish slavery. A profound consequence of such narrative was that a memory of black participation and significance disappeared from mainstream historiography for almost a century.
Professor Grzegorz Berendt of the Museum of the Second World War in Gdansk.
When we were planning the 2018 World Battlefield Museums Forum, we knew that Gettysburg representatives had to be there. Gettysburg is the most preserved battlefield in America, and it is also an extraordinary memorial site, a powerful symbol of reconciliation, a true legacy of modern America. We must remember that Gettysburg, the site of one of the largest battles in North American history, claimed the lives of 51,000 people. Today, it is one of the most important memorials in the USA, and the 1,400 monuments remind us of brave soldiers who fought in this battle. The 1 million people who visit the site each year is undeniable proof of how important the battlefields are in terms of culture, memory, and national identity. By nurturing such memorial sites, we pay tribute to those who fought, gave their lives, and sacrificed themselves to fight for higher values, the values of freedom and a hope for a better tomorrow.
Gettysburg is a powerful symbol. First and foremost, the huge sacrifice by both sides, but also the Gettysburg Address by Abraham Lincoln shows us how one can be full of respect without anger or the triumph of victors over the vanquished, but rather a hope for future generations. History is there to help us remember and learn from the past. But whoever is unaware of history is doomed to repeat it.
This program is brought to you by the Museum of the Second World War in Gdansk as part of the World Battlefield Museums Forum.
To był podcast Radia Gdańsk. Więcej na radiogdańsk.pl.